Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Joining us on the line now is Stephen McKeon. He's the founder and CEO of MacGyver Tech. With over 25 years of experience in the technological world, he always had a passion for taking things apart and then putting them back together better than before. In April, the House of Representatives passed a piece of legislation that would ban TikTok in the US if the app's parent company, ByteDance, doesn't sell its stake within a year. Stephen thinks that TikTok should be banned and has concerns over kids' use of the app that include exposure to inappropriate content and misinformation. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. So tell us a little bit about MacGyver Tech, first of all, can you?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a unique name. If anybody's old enough to remember this show, MacGyver, you know, it's a nickname that's followed me around my whole life. So we kind of apply that to our company. We've been in business for 10 years and, you know, we like to solve the hard problems, try to use creative, you know, ways of solving technical challenges. And the name MacGyver kind of fits us because, you know, if you have a problem or it's really hard to solve or others have failed, you know, we would like to take a shot at it. And I think we could be successful. So we've been kind of building our business in that way for about 10 years and really enjoy solving those technical challenges and also a very security minded focus as well. My background in the IT space is also as an ethical hacker. So I know the bad guys and how they think. And we just try to apply those techniques and processes to our clients and ourselves to be more secure. There's no shortage of the bad guys out there these days.
Yeah. I don't think I've heard of the expression ethical hacker before. I can kind of work out what that means, but just explain it to us, can you?
Sure. Okay. So the best way to say is I understand and can use the dark arts of the internet, all the tools that the bad guys use, but I'm a good guy. And I try to make understanding of how the bad guys operate so we can protect ourselves and others from them. So an ethical hacker, you know, I stick to ethical standards and I'm not like, just because I can doesn't mean I should, you know, just because if you have a sword and you can use it and wield it, you know, you should be using it for good. And that's kind of what an ethical hacker does, is they're using their skill sets for good as opposed to, you know, bad things.
Yeah. And with regards to hacking, it seems like we're seeing a lot of it these days, big hacks, you know, that happen within big multinational companies. Is it happening more often?
That's an understatement. The best way to put it is, you know, I'll throw some numbers out there. We have some clients that, you know, this is about 6 months ago, they were probably getting about 10,000 hacks a month in about a 30-day window that we were forwarding off or protecting.
Whoa.
Now, that's nothing. Now that's going up a 10x. So it's about 100,000 hacks a month that we're forwarding off on any particular website. So it's going up a factor of 10 just in 6 months.
That's insane. And are you talking about big companies and things?
Oh, these are fairly significant sized companies, and they're doing everything they can to protect them. How we kind of approach security is a little different. We think of it as like an onion. If you know how onions are, they're laid out in layers. And when it comes to security, we just try to apply those security techniques that are a little bit not maybe kind of out there where the playbook is like, hey, here's a best practice. We'll do it just a little differently. But then you do like four or five different layers to your security that makes it really hard for a hacker. They can maybe get through one or two, but as an ethical hacker and understanding how these bad guys operate, the longer you keep it at a person trying to get into, like, you know, say a target or a website, kind of think of it as your house. You know, just imagine there's a burglar that's trying to get into your house and he's trying to jimmy your locks and he's outside. He's exposed why he's trying to break into the house. The same thing for the hackers. The last thing they want to do is spend a lot of time to get into something. So the more layers that you put, the more time you're going to waste, and they're going to be less interested in you as a target to compromise or hack because they don't want to be found or notified. So it's like a kind of a, if you can kind of play their game against them, it really goes a long way because, you know, there's more than enough targets out there. They're just going to go on to the next one that's easier. You know, they're not going to just try and put effort into it. So does that make any sense of how,
You know, yeah, for sure. And in terms of protecting ourselves and our data and information, obviously we have to give certain information to banks and all kinds of websites and things that we subscribe to online. And obviously if those websites and those companies are hacked, there's not necessarily much we can do about it. But general day-to-day life online, are there particular things that we could be and should be doing to protect ourselves as much as possible?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, even apps like, you know, think that are okay and safe or not, you know, I know even the TikTok app, we've seen some really weird things happening from that app itself, and it shouldn't be doing. And some other apps too, is like, you know, these companies seem to ask for forgiveness than for permission. It seems like, and they'll just do things. And sometimes the stuff they do is even worse than the bad guys.
Wow. Yeah. So what are the kind of things that we should be doing then that can help the situation or help ourselves?
Well, try not to share too much information online. I mean, the biggest things what hackers do, it's the funny thing is everybody think hacking has to do a lot with technology. Technology plays a small part in it. Actually, the bigger part is social engineering. These hackers and sophisticated people that are using stuff in bad ways are really great manipulators. They're really good at getting people to give them information that they probably shouldn't have. Or on the other side is you got a lot of people just sharing information that they probably shouldn't share online. And, you know, it's all out there for anybody to use against you. So you got to be careful about, you know, how much you want to put out there and try to reduce your footprint, so you don't have too much information where somebody can kind of take over your life. And I've seen that happen a few times, you know, and it's horrible.
Yeah. You keep getting these kind of, I don't want to say trends, that's not the right word, but things that happen on sites like social media where you see it kind of repeating themselves. I've seen something in the last couple of days that is obviously to do with hacking and a scam and whatever else. And it's horrible because it makes you think, oh no, what's happened? But it'll come up on someone's Facebook as if they've posted it themselves. And it says, I can't believe he's gone. And then there's a link and it tags a couple of people. So it suggests that obviously somebody has died. It's tragic, and it makes you want to click on the link and go, oh no, who's died? What's happened? And it's a scam. I've seen those exact words on various people's sites. So it's awful because it's the kind of thing that people would click on because you think, oh no, who's died?
Yeah, it's despicable, honestly. You know, they're using, you know, that's an emotion intelligence play.
Yeah.
They're basically, you know, they're pulling on your heartstrings, knowing most good human beings are going to feel obligated to kind of click on it and do something with it.
Yeah.
And they're just down to, you know, use that against you. So, yeah, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's another kind of a really big scam thing that's going around in social media called pig butchering scams. Have you ever heard of those?
No.
Oh, okay. It's actually the worst in humanity. It's human trafficking cartels, mixed with romantic scams. And I've personally helped multiple people that lost anywhere from hundreds of thousands of dollars to millions of dollars in this area. So what they'll do is they'll go on like something like Facebook. They'll find somebody of a high net worth person. First, they'll do the recon and figure out, see if they can find a target that's worth their time. And then they had these kind of like, I don't want to say call centers, but these kind of areas where people are kidnapped and they're forced to do work like this to get money from people as any way they can. And, you know, the kidnappers promise them they'll let them go if they get so much money. So they call that a pig butchering scam. It's across the world. It's really happening a lot in Ukraine right now, where large swaths of citizens are being kidnapped and used in these areas, you know, in nefarious ways. It's despicable.
Yeah.
So, there's no shortage of like those types of like where, you know, now you have AI that's really speeding up the process. They can go and cast a huge net and find people and then, you know, bring real people in after that. But it seems to be getting worse, not better.
Mm.
And I think these, you know, social media platforms probably should do a better job at policing them. They just seem to be turning a blind eye because from their standpoint, they see this as a cost center.
Yeah.
They're seeing it's going to cost me more money to kind of maintain this and they don't want to do it.
No. So tell us about the TikTok situation and what this piece of legislation that was passed in April.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So, you know, I kind of backtrack here a little bit. About 5 months ago, my company was called in to help a company that was under duress from a ransomware attack from the Russians. I believe it was the BlackBit ransomware. And we were called in, so we put in a bunch of detectors. And, you know, best thing you do when you kind of come into a situation like that is you kind of do what the hackers do. You got to kind of put some eyes and ears on what's going on, but you don't want to pull the plug yet because you got to see what's going on. So we did that for a couple of days just to kind of get a beat on the bad guys. And, you know, we did a thing called I don't want to say geofencing, but we geolocated the IP addresses where, like, say, if, you know, I'm on the internet and I'm going to see a website. Well, on the other side, that website is recording your traffic and what IP address you came from. That IP address could be geolocated to exactly tell you where you are on the planet. So I can get your address from an IP address. So we kind of mapped out all the IP addresses, and, you know, something really startling jumped out at us, and we saw a ton of traffic coming and going from China. And initially we thought it was this maybe the bad guys, because our scope was that, is looking at the ransomware. But then when we looked in the data further, it was all TikTok data from the employees using it, why they were in work hours. So it created two problems. You know, you have one is they shouldn't have been using TikTok. And two is, why is TikTok sending all this data directly to China when it could have been sending it to a CDN or, you know, content delivery service, which how it usually works in app development is, you know, there's a lot of servers that are throughout the world. And what they'll do is try to find the closest server to you to reduce the time it would take to get there. And also extra resources needed. They weren't doing that. They were actually just beelining, sending the most indirect path halfway across the world. But, you know, I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Why is an app like that doing that? Nothing else is doing that. Mm-hmm. So it was really odd to me. So I kind of like I had an itch and I was like, I got to figure what this is going on. Even though it wasn't the scope of my job anymore, I looked into it and reached out to other researchers in my field. And I ran into a company that has done a really big forensics job on the TikTok app. And then what they've found is the app is actually doing a thing called app collusion. And app collusion means, in layman's terms, like, say, if TikTok wants to read your emails or your text messages, but it doesn't have direct access to do that. So what it will do is it will find out what other apps actually have access to it and ask that app to give them permission to actually pull that information. And the apps will do it. So, you know, that's crazy. So instead of me asking for permission that says no, I'm just going to ask my friend kind of deal. Hey, you got access. Can you just give me that? So they're just using that as a proxy to grab information that they shouldn't out of the app, which really raised some alarm bells for me. I was like, wow, I can't even believe they're doing that. So that presentation actually was this company, you know, that I ran into presented their findings to Congress. And I believe that findings is probably what's driving what's going on now. And you know, because this is a national security thing. You got, you know, the CCP, the Chinese government, really has an app that's on everybody's phone that can do malicious activity.
Yeah.
So me personally, I deleted the app. I even have a decent TikTok following. I, you know, after what I've learned myself personally, I'm not interested in that. So I've removed all that stuff. And I just find that the app is also a little bit, it's not just a time waster. It's really kind of destroying our youth in some senses. And it's not just me saying that. You know, I've talked to educators and, you know, I call them TikTok zombies. Have you ever seen anybody on TikTok? They're there just swiping for 8 to 10 hours at a time and nothing gets done. They don't even remember what they did. And it's really kind of sad. But then, you know, what's really weird is this company ByteDance, which you mentioned earlier, that is the company that makes TikTok, has another version of TikTok called Douyin. Douyin is only allowed in China. It's banned in America. And it's exactly opposite of what TikTok is. It's like a similar platform, but instead of it being viral in a negative way, it's viral in a positive way where it's educational, it's uplifting, helps you be a better person. And things like that are that I think help you become a better human being. I can't exactly say that for the version that we have here. I mean, how much better of a person does it make you be by using TikTok, or at least the version that we have?
Yeah, I watched. You know, I watched a really frightening report that was done with researchers in Ireland, looking at how long it would take if you joined TikTok as a young person, so as a you know 13-year-old, whatever kind of age, but as a child, basically, because you can say whoever you are, you can say whatever sex you are, you can say whatever age you are. You know, it's really easy to do. And if you were a vulnerable young person and they were explaining that when you join TikTok as a new user, they show you all kinds of content, and the kind of content that you are engaged with, that you're just, you don't need to, they said you don't need to comment, you don't need to like it, you just the videos that you spend more time looking at, they'll automatically start showing you more and more of that. And they were showing, they were showing how many videos are up there to do with not only depression and people with, you know, suffering with mental health issues, but people who are self-harming, people, young people who are talking about suicide and talking about it as a valuable option, as a way to kind of deal with the mental health issues that they're going through. And it showed you how quickly a person who hasn't liked or commented on anything, who is obviously vulnerable, would be showing more and more content, really damaging content, pretty much encouraging you to self-harm or take your own life.
Wow, that's horrible. And just to share with you a little personal stuff, my dad took his own life. So this is something I really, really care about, you know, suicide prevention and help. And I always, you know, I'm a big fan of that and advocate online as well. So, you know, as somebody who's seen that firsthand, it's horrible what that kind of stuff does. It actually does more damage to everybody else than it does to the person that took their own life.
Yeah, of course.
It's horrible that, you know, yeah. And these algorithms, so these algorithms are only driven by trying to you to be on, they want you to stay on the platform longer, and they will do anything they can to do that. So it's kind of a, you know, there needs to be more oversight, not just for the nefarious activity that that app does, but I mean, the opposite of that, Dojim one would never do that. It would actually help you if you had mental illness. It would actually give you educational content. Mm. Like ours is corroding our society, not helping it. Like you just mentioned there, that's not a good thing for it to be, you know, driving a negative tone down when somebody's already in that position. I mean, that's just going to further push them down that hole, and they might kind of do something that they wish you didn't.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, are there any kind of things that with regards to young people on apps like TikTok, are there any kind of like parental controls that you can do with apps like TikTok? So kids can only see certain content and won't be able to see others.
I think there is, like, there's apps that, you know, I have an 8-year-old kid myself, and we're just, you know, now there's apps you can install that kind of limit access to apps and timing and stuff like that. But controlling inside the TikTok app, I mean, I wouldn't even let anybody under 18 use it anyway. But, you know, if they are using it, you know, I don't know how much inside the app you can actually control. I mean, there's limited controls there, at least from my experience.
Yeah. No, I'm not aware of it either. So what's the situation then with this parent company, ByteDance? Do you think it's likely to sell its stake within a year? I mean, if the US got rid of TikTok, that would be a pretty big deal, wouldn't it? There's like 170 million TikTok users in the States.
Right. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing is, I know they're talking about it. I don't think the app is ever going to be banned. I think it's just, they're just forcing them to sell it. So there can be more oversight, you know, because, you know, the things that are happening there are really raising alarm bells for some of the people in, you know, our government positions. And even myself, what I saw is definitely not right. So it's a tough landscape right now. It's kind of, how can you get these companies to be more proactive? And the only way to do that is to have some more government oversight. But right now, TikTok doesn't have that. Mm. So, I mean, this kidding example, like I actually, you know, I have one of my employees that works for me. He's in California, and, you know, one of his roommates used to work for TikTok. And he told me, and she just got laid off. So what's happening is they're turning over all the staff in TikTok internally right now. Why is that? They're trying to clean house, basically.
Yeah.
They're cleaning house, so they're leaving no trails of anything that could have potentially be used against them. And if the employees are no longer there that were involved in some of this nefarious activities, what are you going to do? Hmm. So I think they're kind of, you know, there's definitely the rats are scurrying around inside that organization right now. It seems like, at least gotten from firsthand. So I think they're preparing to kind of do that. And I think maybe the gig is up and, you know, they're going to have no choice to do it. I mean, I believe, you know, ultimately it will be sold and forced and to be under control of a U.S. company. But that being said, who are their potential buyers? And one of the potential buyers could be Facebook. And God, we all hate Facebook, you know?
Like, I mean, we're selling it to the devil, to his brother. You know? Like, are we doing a good job here?
Yeah. I don't know. It is. It's what the alternatives. That's the worrying thing, isn't it?
Right. I mean, that's the other thing is like, you know, I mean, there's probably only three or four companies that could potentially buy a company like that, I think. I mean, I don't know. I'm not at that level of finance for, you know, understanding what it will take. But I can imagine that's a multi-billion dollar deal. And, you know, what companies can afford that kind of cash flow?
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? But, you know, at least if it's under an American company, there could be better regulation. It could be more oversight because the things that they're doing right now, they're not even asking for permission. They're doing some really nefarious activity.
Mm.
So I hope that could change.
Yeah, it's difficult because, you know, for parents, it's kind of, I wouldn't say impossible, but very difficult for them to be au fait into all the, you know, you're an expert. This is what you do for a living. So you're, you know, finding out all this information that most people kind of either don't have access to or just don't understand. So you can understand why it's really difficult for parents to kind of know how to navigate all this and to stop their children from going onto apps or even getting the mobile phone in the first place when all their friends have got it and all their friends are on TikTok. Right. You know, it's very difficult.
Right. Yeah, that is the other side of the coin is like, you know, you have everybody, it's kind of peer pressure.
Yeah.
So you have everybody else using it. So why are my friends using it and I'm not, kind of deal? So it's kind of a shame.
Mm.
I hope, you know, things can get better there because I believe, like, you know, our mental health issues have gotten way worse, especially in the last few years. And I think to depart these social media companies. You know, I personally limit my time on social media. I used to spend a lot of time. Yeah, I even used the TikTok. I got quite a few followers on TikTok, but I, like I said, I deleted the app and I stopped using it. So, you know, my take on that is, you know, just be careful what you're sharing. That app in particular, if you have it on your phone, it could potentially do things that you're not aware of. And it could take information and be used against you. Use it with care.
Definitely. Well, it's been great to have you with us on the program, Stephen McKeon from MacGyver Tech. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for your time.